The Scott Horton Show is brought to you by books, particularly Kesslin Runs, a new dystopian novel about the very near future by the great Charles Featherstone. Kesslin Runs, also No Dev, No Ops, No IT by Hussein Badakhshani, and The War State by Mike Swanson about the rise of the military-industrial complex in America after World War II. He also gives great investment advice at WallStreetWindow.com. And when you follow his advice, you'll want to get some precious metals, gold and silver and et cetera, from Roberts and Roberts Brokerage, Inc. That's at rrbi.co, rrbi.co. Also, check out Zencash at zencash.com or zensystem.io. It's a great digital currency, but it's also a messaging app and a document transfer app and all kinds of great stuff, too. Learn all about it at zencash.com. And then there's Tom Wood's Liberty Classroom. If you sign up from the link on my page at scotthorton.org, I'll get a little bit of a kickback there. And check this out. Speaking of scotthorton.org, if you'd like expanddesigns.com to build you a new 2018 model website, go to expanddesigns.com/Scott and you'll save $500. Also, don't forget the bumpersticker.com. Stickers for your band or your business at very reasonable prices. High quality stuff there. It used to be my company back when. Thebumpersticker.com.
Sorry, I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
But we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, introducing Oliver Imhoff from airwars.org. Their new report, 4 years of war and ISIS is almost defeated, but at what cost? Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Oliver?
I'm great. How are you?
Thank I'm doing good. Really appreciate you joining us on the show here. And I really appreciate Air Wars. I've been a fan of Chris Woods and his work and Sam Oakford and the others for quite a few years here. And you guys do a really great job of trying to keep track of casualties, and especially civilian casualties in these wars. So here we're talking about Iraq War III, which includes the war in eastern Syria as well, of course. But so starting in August of 2014, America started the bombing campaign, mostly in Iraq then, and then shortly thereafter started bombing the Islamic State targets in Syria as well. And now, never mind the backstory of where ISIS came from. We've covered that. But so we want to focus on casualties from the America's mostly airstrikes. But you also talk about artillery strikes as well. We know we had CIA and Special Operations Forces, particularly MARSOC, on the ground in Iraq War III there. So I guess my first question is, this includes everything going back to 2014. In other words, the taking of Tikrit, Fallujah, Ramadi on the way to Mosul?
Yeah, so exactly. We've been tracking all the coalition airstrikes since 2014. Yeah.
Okay. And then, so I guess start us off. You go year by year or battle by battle here?
Exactly, yeah. So it started off pretty softly, actually. So in 2014, we didn't track that many civilian casualties, which was because the operations of the coalition were mostly defensive back then. So the coalition tried to stop ISIS from further advancing. And then the following years got more intense. So we already witnessed an increase in 2015 with 692 civilian casualties. And then 2016, we already witnessed much higher numbers with 1,261, which can be explained by the coalition forces and its allies advancing into urban territory, where usually the number of civilian casualties from airstrikes gets higher due to the higher population density. And then in 2017, we by far witnessed the highest number of civilian casualties with over 4,000 due to the battles of Mosul and the battle for Raqqa, which were both very intense, and both cities were almost entirely destroyed in these battles.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, so to go back to, I guess it would have been early 2015 in the battle for Fallujah, the Islamic State basically just fled from Fallujah, sparing that city another full-scale assault as they'd suffered back 10 years before. But then when it came to Ramadi, they basically leveled the whole city, America and America's Shiite allies in that fight, right?
Sorry, can you repeat that question?
About Ramadi and how bad the damage was in Ramadi.
I haven't specifically researched Ramadi myself, so I can't give you further information on that, unfortunately.
Well, but you guys have numbers from there, right?
We normally do, but I don't have them ready here now.
So. I see. Yeah. Okay, and then the battle for Mosul, which I guess really started October 2016 and lasted almost a year. What kind of, you said 4,000 something?
That was the overall number for 2017.
Oh, for 2017, huh?
Yeah, but...
And that was just from American airstrikes, not necessarily the total casualties in the city of all fighting, right?
There was coalition airstrikes, so not just American airstrikes, yeah. Uh-huh. So battle for Mosul started in 2016 already, there's already some included from there as well. So the number in... Mosul was a bit lower than 4,000 to 3,000 civilian casualties. There was already also an AP investigation into that afterwards, who concluded that around 3,000 victims were from the coalition airstrikes back then, and 11,000 civilian casualties altogether from ISIS coalition and Iraqi forces actions.
Mm-hmm. And casualties meaning killed and wounded.
Just killed.
Oh, okay, killed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's the minimum number we estimate.
Right. And then, now, in which cases are we talking airstrikes and artillery as compared to just airstrikes?
We've only started tracking artillery recently. While, for example, for the Afrin campaign by the Turkish forces, we've entirely researched artillery strikes as well. But for the numbers mentioned in the piece, the most of the civilian casualties come from airstrikes, not artillery strikes.
All right, you guys, here's how to support this show. First of all, subscribe to the RSS feeds, iTunes, Stitcher, and all of that. All the feeds are available at scotthorton.org and also at libertarianinstitute.org. You can also follow me on youtube.com/ScottHortonShow. And sign up for Patreon. If you do, anybody who signs up for $1 per interview gets 2 free books from Listen and Think Audio. And also you'll get keys to the new Reddit page, reddit.com/ScottHortonShow. And then if you go to scotthorton.org/donate, $20 will get you the audiobook of Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. $50 will get you a signed copy of the paperback there. And a $100 donation will get you either a QR code, commodity disc, or a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Libertarian audiobooks. That's all at scotthorton.org/donate. And also anybody donating $5 or more per month there, if you already are or if you sign up now, you'll get keys to that new Reddit group as well. Already got about 50 people in there and it's turning out pretty good. Again, that's reddit.com/ScottHortonShow. If you're already donating or you're a new donor, just email me scott@scotthorton.org and I'll get you the keys there. And hey, do me a favor. Give me a good review on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you liked the book, on Amazon.com. And the audiobook is also on iTunes, and I sure would appreciate that. And listen, if you want to submit articles to the Libertarian Institute, please do, and they don't have to be about foreign policy. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org. And then, so what all is your sourcing here? I mean, it seems like, well, this is something that's come up in the past, is the questions between, you know, overall casualties and excess deaths versus those that are actually countable on a one-by-one basis from, you know, multiple news reports and that kind of thing. So I wonder, do you guys have an estimate between what you can either prove or at least show versus what you think the numbers might be?
Yeah, so we have a methodology which is usually based on the number and the credibility of sources. So if there's only a single source claiming civilian casualties, we would class that as weak, and we wouldn't include that in our minimum civilian casualties number, which is the number I just quoted. And anything above that, so several sources claiming civilian casualties, is then normally included in our minimum number.
Well, and that does make it very difficult, right? Because it's not like there were a lot of independent reporters allowed in Mosul by the Islamic State while it was under their rule, right?
It wasn't too bad, actually. Local reporting is better than what you would expect. And yeah, unfortunately, a lot of Western media doesn't rely on this reporting while we do. And from what we've seen after the battles from independent Western reporters going in there, we've seen that our numbers are actually quite accurate and much higher than the numbers claimed by the coalition. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, so Patrick Coburn reported that one estimate from the Kurdish Peshmerga forces was that as many as 40,000 people had been killed in the battle for Mosul. And that would include by Kurds who were helping to fight in that war, too. So what do you think of that?
Well, that's obviously much higher than the number we estimated. What is he basing his numbers on?
Well, Kurdish intelligence reports, according to him. You know, I don't know. That was what he told Patrick Coburn. I think Coburn wasn't confirming that it was definitely true or anything, but it certainly seemed within the realm of possibility to him traveling through the city.
Well, we have our own estimations for Mosul, and we normally stick to these numbers. So yeah, that's what we go with. And as we've seen afterwards from independent investigations, it seems fairly accurate what we said for Mosul. Mm-hmm.
And then, and you mentioned 4,000 something just in 2017, which was the bulk of that war. But as you're saying, it had started before then and really mm-hmm. lasted into at least the beginning of this year. So do you have a total number for Mosul that you think then?
The total number for Mosul is around 3,000 from coalition actions.
Mm. Oh, but you just said 4,000 for just 2017.
Yeah, but that's not for Mosul. That's all Iraq and Syria.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was just for Mosul in 2017. Okay, I misunderstood. Yeah. And you're saying that later reporting after Islamic State was run out of the city would seem to confirm the estimate of 3,000, because that sounds pretty low for such a terrible battle and for one that lasted so long. But I don't know.
Well, as I said, those are just the actions from coalition forces. So the overall number for civilian casualties in Mosul from ISIS, Iraqi and coalition forces action is around 11,000. So that's quite a significant number.
I see. And so in other words, when you say coalition, that doesn't include Iraqi army and militia forces on the ground there?
No, that's just countries involved in the campaign.
I got you. Okay, so now let's talk about Raqqa on the other side of what's again the border between Syria and Iraq there. For a while, it was just Western Islamic State. What kind of numbers do we have out of Raqqa?
Sorry, I can't give you an overall number for now on Raqqa.
But you can for a certain period of time? Or not?
No, sorry. I mean, I'm usually on the Libya project on Air Wars, so I don't have the numbers for Raqqa here at the moment.
I see. All right. Well, hell, talk to me about Libya. I know that Donald Trump's administration, which is, I guess, about a year and a half old now, has done some strikes into Libya. What years have you been focusing on there?
So we have been tracking airstrikes in Libya since the end of the NATO campaign in 2011. We've basically tracked every year ever since, and we have quite a significant number of U.S. airstrikes there as well. So we have an overall of over 500 U.S. strikes recorded in Libya, some of which also with civilian casualties. And the U.S. was especially active in Sirte in the attempt to oust the Islamic State from the city, which was successful. But in Libya, there's also a lot of other actors involved. So the UAE, Egypt are heavily involved. France is involved in as well. So there's a lot of foreign actors and domestic actors as well, as Libya has two governments at the moment.
Right. Yeah, and one trying to be a third, I guess, over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I sure appreciate your effort and all the guys at Air Wars trying to keep track of these casualties for us. You know, these are, especially with the drones and modern airstrikes, laser guidance and satellite guided bombs, we're oftentimes led to believe these are surgical strikes. And that civilian lives are being protected. And, of course, the government has been caught lying. The American and the British government have been caught pretending that there have been no civilian casualties at all during some of these campaigns. And so without guys like you calling them out on it, we wouldn't know. So really appreciate it.
Thanks. Glad to hear that.
All right, you guys, that is Oliver Imhoff. This one is at airwars.org, 4 years of war, and ISIS is almost defeated, but at what cost? All right, y'all, thanks. Find me at libertarianinstitute.org, at scotthorton.org, antiwar.com, and reddit.com/scotthortonshow. Oh, yeah, and read my book, Fool's Errand, Timed and the War in Afghanistan, at foolserrand.us.